Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Bye.
Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That's a beautiful song reminding us of God's love, sung by Greater Vision and featuring my nephew, Mr. Chris Allman. Hope you enjoyed the song. I do hope that you'll pray for me as I am involved in revival meetings in the month of May and June. This weekend, I begin revival services May 17 through 19 in Thomasville, Alabama, at the Springfield Methodist Protestant Church. And then we'll take Memorial Day weekend and week off, at least for the most part. In May 29 through 31, I'll be at the Church of the Nazarene in revival services at Odin, Indiana. And then the first weekend of the month of June, I'm going to travel to Atlanta, Georgia, actually Smyrna, Georgia, on the north side of Atlanta, a church where I was pastor when I was 20 years old. And I'm looking forward to going there for a weekend revival meeting. That's June 5, 6, and 7. So I do covet your prayers as we're involved in these revival meetings. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful today for your grace and mercy in our lives that you love us so much. Thank you for loving us. Be with those who are listening, those who have special spiritual needs and physical needs. I pray for them today. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to conclude the sermon, So Great Salvation, on the program today, and you're going to hear one of the most remarkable stories that I've ever had the privilege of sharing in the context of a sermon, a story from the ministry of Dr. John R. Church, a great influencer in my life and ministry. And I believe that you'll be blessed by the story as we conclude the message. So we're going to get right into the song and into the message. But don't forget to write to me. I do need to hear from you so we can continue broadcasting the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. You can write to me, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org. And you can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tabs there. I hope you'll pray about that, because we do depend upon our listening audience to stay on the radio. And may God bless you for praying about it and for praying for us. It'll mean so very, very much. May God bless you now as you listen to the music and the message on this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Jesus and Savior. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's great because of the cost involved to bring it to you. And then lastly, it's great because of what it can do for you. You realize there's not a person in this building that God can't save? Nobody's gone so deep in sin but what God can reach down to where they are. And through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, raise them up and give them new life in Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your background. Doesn't matter what the enemy may try to whisper into your ear about you not being worthy. Doesn't matter. You're worthy because Jesus paid the price. Amen. For you. I've had many great influencers in my life in ministry. One of them was a man by the name of Dr. John R. Church. And I took this out of his book. And I want to share it to you in closing today. Dr. Church, in telling the story, he said, "My first pastorate was the Shoals Creek Methodist Charge in Shoals Creek, North Carolina, up in the mountains." He said, "When I went to that church, first arrived there," he said, "I got settled into the parsonage, and one of the stewards of the congregation, one of the congregations, it was a charge, a Methodist charge. That means there's more than one church you had to pastor and minister at." And he said, "When I arrived there, one of the stewards in one of the churches came over to the house and said, 'Brother Church, I want to show you where some of your more prominent members live. I'll give you a tour around the community, show you where your churches are located.'" And this will tell you how old this story is. Dr. Church said, "I went out to the barn and saddled my horse." He said, "I saddled my horse and we begin to ride around the community." And he said, "So-and-so lives over there. This is the church where you'll preach the first and third Sundays of the month. Went to another church. This is the church where you'll preach the second and fourth Sundays of the month." And showed me members' homes. And he said, toward the middle of the afternoon, we were on our way back and we were coming down the horse trail. And he pulled his horse to a stop, for there was a spur trail that went off that main trail. And he stopped and said, "Brother Church, you see that trail right there? It goes up to that little clearing. See that clearing up there, Brother Church?" He said, "Yes, I see that." He said, "You see that little cabin up there?" He said, "I looked and saw a cabin up there. The smoke was spiraling out of the chimney." And he said, "Brother Church, don't go up there. A man that lives up there is mean. He'd shoot you at the drop of a hat. Everybody around here calls him Old Man George." And Dr. Church said, "I made a mental note of that." And went home. He said, that night as we were having supper, we prayed over the evening meal, and he said, it began to pulsate in my mind. The name, Old Man George. Old Man George. He said, we had family devotions before going to bed. And as we had family prayer time, as I prayed, there it was again. Old Man George. Old Man George. He said, we had family devotions before going to bed. And as we had family prayer time, as I prayed, there it was again. Old Man George. Old Man George. He said, the next day, I told my wife, "Honey, I'm going to be just going around the community today. I'm going to be gone most of the day." He said, she fixed me a sack lunch. And he said, I went out and got my favorite horse and saddled him. He said, I got on the horse and started out of the corral and back up that same path I'd come down the day before. And he said, we came to that little spur trail that steward of the church had warned me about. And it was almost like that horse had a mind of his own, because that horse just kind of went off to the side and started up that trail. Amen. He said, I let him take his lead. He said, it got so steep I had to get off the horse and lead him the rest of the way up to the edge of that clearing. He said, I tied him off to a tree, took my saddle off and put it in some bushes in case somebody might come by and want to steal my saddle. And he said, I walked up into the clearing, up to the side of that little cabin, and came around the corner to the front door, and there was an old woman sitting on the front porch, and she was quilting. And he said, I spoke and startled her. Morning. He said, she turned around. Said, who are you? He said, I'm Brother Church. I'm the new pastor of the Shoals Creek Methodist Church. I've come up here to pay you folks a visit. Is your husband around? He's down there planting in that new ground. He said, I turned and looked and saw a giant of a man. He said, I walked down the hillside and walked up to him and said, good morning, sir. He said, who are you? He said, I'm Brother Church. I'm pastor of the Shoals Creek Methodist Church. I've come up here to pay you folks a visit. He said, he gestured toward a split log over here. And he said, I went over and I sat down on that split log. And he came and joined me. And he said, we began to just chit-chat, talk about what he was planting in that new ground. And he said, and all of a sudden, I felt he was getting kind of antsy, wanted to get back to doing what he was doing before I ever got there. And he said, well, Brother George, I'm going to be going. I know you want to get this done. And there's other people I want to go see, too. And he said, but before I go, could I have a word of prayer with you? And he said, before he could say no, I started praying. The glory of God settled down on that little hillside scene and enveloped me and that man. He said, when I finished praying for he and his family, I looked up and he said, that old man was wiping tears. He said, Brother Church, you're the first preacher that's ever come up here and paid us a visit. You prayed for me like I was kinfolk. Appreciate it, Brother Church. Brother Church, would you stay and have noon victuals with us? He said, I sure would. He said, we walked up to the porch and his wife, she was sitting there on the porch. And he said, woman, this is the preacher. He's come up, pay us a visit. He's going to have noon victuals with us. Get up, go in the house and fix something. Be quick about it. He hadn't got all day. Said she just got up and went inside, didn't say anything. And he said, we sat there on that front porch. And there were kids playing in the front yard, various ages. And he began to tell me his story. He said, Brother Church, I've been in the federal penitentiary before. I've been a mean man. I've done some awful things. See that? That one over there, that child over there, that's from my first marriage. That one over there, that's from my wife's first marriage. Those two over there are from our marriage. And he just told me a story. So after a while, his wife came out on the porch and said, on the table, if you want it, you can come and get it. He said, we got up and went inside. Into the kitchen, he said, there were only two chairs at the table. And he gestured for me to get at the other end of the table and sit in that chair. He sat in this chair over here, and the family gathered around. He said, nobody asked me to pray. He said, but I began to pray. And he says, I pray that same glory of God that was down there on the side of that hill settled into that little kitchen area. He said, when I finished praying over that meal and for that family, I looked up, and old man George was wiping big old tears off his cheeks. His wife, Lizzie, had her apron up to the corner of her eyes, and she was daubing tears from her eyes. And we visited, had a wonderful meal. He said, then I said, well, I know you got things to do. I'll be on my way. He said, that old man jumped up and knocked his chair on the floor. Said, woman, go out there in that smokehouse. Get one of those hams we put up last fall. Get some of those peaches you put up. This man's come up here, he's prayed for us like we were kinfolk. We need to let him know how much we appreciate it. He said, they got a burlap sack and put those items in it. And he walked me down the side of the hill to my horse, helped me saddle my horse, boosted me up on my horse, and then he reached up and grabbed me. He said, Brother Church, don't forget us. Don't forget us, Brother Church. He said, I assured him that I wouldn't. He said, I turned my horse down that trail, and every few yards down that trail, he said, I would turn around. And I looked back up the hill, and there was old man George. Don't forget us, Brother Church. Don't forget us. He said, I didn't forget him. I prayed for him every day that week. He said, I was at the church closest to where they lived the following Sunday. And he said, when I rode up on the churchyard that Sunday morning, I looked out in the front yard, and there was old man George. And his wife, her name was Lizzie, and he said, their kids. He said, that old man had gone out and bought a brand new pair of bib overalls. Still had the tag hanging on to the buckle. Right now. He said, she had a big gingham dress with a great big old bonnet. He said, those kids' faces were so clean, they shone like new money. He said, but I didn't go around. And he said, I went behind the church and got on my face in the thicket of bushes and said, oh God, if you've ever helped a little Methodist preach, would you help me say something today that'll get hold of that old man's heart? He said, I started preaching that morning. He said, I don't know how the people thought I was doing, but I felt really good in the Lord. Felt like he was anointing the sermon. He said, halfway through the sermon, old man, halfway back on this side, about halfway through my sermon, old man George stood straight up. He said, I thought to myself, oh no, I made him mad. He's going to come up here and hit me. He said, but he didn't do that. He said, he turned around, got on his knees right there at that pew, stuck his head all the way under the pew. He said, I just kept on preaching. He said, after a little while, he came out from under that pew with cobwebs in his hair. He said, but he had a glow on his face. And he said, Brother Church, he heard me. He heard me. I feel so clean. He heard me. He said, that old man got saved that day. His wife, Lizzie, soon followed her husband. They became a part of that church, faithful as long as I was there. Years passed. Dr. Church said, I went into evangelism. Wife and I were on our way from North Carolina out to Illinois to a camp meeting. He said, I looked at the wife and said, hey, honey, we've got a few extra days. Let's leave early. Let's go up through the mountains of North Carolina where we started our ministry those many years ago. He said, we drove into Shoals Creek. Those horse paths were now streets. He said, we came into that little community. He said, I looked out ahead of me and saw an old woman just barely walking up the side of the road, all dressed in black with a black sunbonnet. And she was just walking along with the aid of a couple of canes. He said, I thought to myself, if I didn't know better, I'd think that was Aunt Lizzie, old man George's wife. He said, I passed her real slowly, looked back, and that's who it was. He said, I backed up and rolled down the window and said, hey, Lizzie, you know who this is? He said, you'd have thought she'd seen a long-lost son come home from the war. She almost crawled through the window trying to get her arms around my neck. And we talked, fellowship there alongside the road. He said, then all of a sudden she got quiet. She said, Brother Church, I guess you know George is gone. He said, I assume she was. He was getting up in years when I was your pastor. She said, Brother Church, I'll never forget the day he died. He had been in a stupor. That's what she called a coma. She had been in a stupor. He had been in a stupor. But he came to just before he died and looked up and said, is that you, Lizzie? She said, yes, George, it's me. She said, then he took those big hands. Remember his big hands, Brother Church? Took those big hands and cupped my face, pulled me down to his face and said, Lizzie, I want you to know how much I love you. You stayed with me all those years when I used to cuss at you. I was so hard on you. Thank you, Lizzie. I want you to know I love you, Lizzie. And then she said, Brother Church, he looked at me and said, Lizzie, if you ever see Brother Church again, would you tell him that I made it? I made it. And I'll see him just inside the city. And in writing the story, Dr. Church said, I believe that one of these days I'll walk into that place called heaven and I'll see old man George waving a palm branch to the glory of God. And you want to know why this salvation's great? That's why. That's why.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church, again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.